Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is chapter 20. There are 20 verses in this chapter, and it has to do with the regulations concerning war. Amen?
Amen.
Back in the Old Testament, they warred with swords and spears, but the Lord always was the one who was the captain of the army, and he was always the one that caused victory for the Jews, for the Israelites. However, if they had broken commandments, well, then the Lord would not fight for them. And it's still that way today. And so, Father, we ask that you bless, anoint chapter 20 of Deuteronomy. And, Lord, let the lesson of it, or the lessons, be learned, be heard by our ears. Let the Spirit speak to our ears, into our hearts, and into our souls, that we, Lord, will have the power to stand another day in the Spirit, one day at a time, by remembering these things, and you bring them to our attention. Because in order for us to be saved, how do we have eternal life? And that is to know you. And the scriptures show us exactly what your regulations are. In the New Testament, we have you in us, and the fight that we have now is a spiritual warfare. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities of darkness in high places. And to the tearing down of strongholds with your word. You created everything with your word. And now by us reading and learning of how the people of the Old Testament lived and failed, and then some of them prevailed, we know that they were cursed for disobeying your word, your instructions, your commandments, and they were blessed. Some of them were blessed by their keeping your commandments. So did in these last days. In the New Testament, we are not to use carnal weapons of warfare. We see that on the news that the people of the world justify using carnal weapons, but we're not of this world, and there's anything that we can do about that except to teach the world, the people of the world, your word, and if they reject it, you're going to destroy them, just as you did all the Gentile nations of the Old Testament. And so we can either choose to let you live in us and represent yourself in and through us and fight our battles for us, or else we can be killed by the millions and wind up in the hell and in the lake of fire for disobeying you. It's a spiritual walk, and we need to know you. And we know you by reading this word and seeing how that you're now waging spiritual war against the enemy. As I said, Father, you created everything with your word. And you're going to come back and destroy all the powers of this world. We're not of this world. The earth is yours, but not the world system. We're not of this world. We have another kingdom that we are of, and that's the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, you say that you're going to come back and destroy the world system and all those that are in it who refuse to believe your way of the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, but have chosen to use carnal warfare. You're coming back to destroy them with the word of your mouth, which is the sword. The double-edged sword, the Word of God, it's more powerful than any two-edged sword. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, with your Word, teach us to be spiritual, to have faith in what in the Spirit rather than in carnal weapons, and rather than in the ways of the world. Lord, and we ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go. Chapter 20, verse 1, Deuteronomy.
King James Version. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots, and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.
Right. Now, a lot of the Jews, when they went in, their different tribes were afraid, and they used an excuse, a false excuse, that they had chariots of iron. They weren't of iron. They were made out of wood, and they had iron parts on them and things like that. But they were just, they were lazy, complacent, and were disobedient to what the Lord said. He said for them to go in and drive all these miserable Gentiles, wicked people, out of the land, or they would become like them. And they did. And they'd become thorns in their sides, thorns in their eyes also, up to even to this day. And you can see it over there, those Arabs. They should have, and the Philistines over there, the Palestinians, they should have driven them out, as God said. But they were disobedient to him, and they're suffering for it down through the years and even to this very day. The land belongs to Israel if they took it. They didn't take it, and so now it doesn't belong to them. And they've had a Gentile nation, England, the United Kingdom, delegate some of it as Palestine instead of Israel, and then the other part of it is Israel. So that is no fault of God's. It is the fault of the Hebrews. And now we're in the New Testament where our fighting is done spiritually, and yet they are still having to wage war and fight with carnal weapons. But again, that's the world system, and we don't entangle ourselves with that. We have nothing to do with it any more than Jesus and the apostles had anything to do with the kingdom that of the worldly kingdom that Herod was running, and Pontius Pilate and Caesar. They never voted for those people, nor did they rant and rave about it that much. They just knew that this was the devil. And those that followed the Lord followed him, and they didn't really pay that much attention to any of those people. And the Holy Spirit would warn people like Joseph when Herod was trying to kill the Messiah, the Lord God, when he came into this world as a human. The Lord appeared to Joseph in the night and told him to flee to Egypt, of all places, until Herod was dead. So this is lessons that we learn. We'll just, if you're in the Spirit, the Lord will warn you to sidestep the people of the world system and not be entangled with them. But we're supposed to pay our taxes, and that's what the Lord meant. Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, so we don't offend them. So there's a possibility some of them might get saved. You pay them their taxes, but in, other than that, there isn't anything that we owe Caesar, those of us that are of the kingdom of heaven, because we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and that leaves zero for Caesar. You can throw him, you know, his money, a little bit of it, and the Lord will give you the money to pay him, so it's no skin off of your nose. Amen?
Amen.
God just does that, and it makes it peaceable for us to not get entangled with their affairs. But I do preach of the things that are happening in the world today because the Bible tells of it, and I do it primarily and really only because to show people just exactly where we are in the nearness of the coming of the Lord. And I warn people not to take the mark of this beast, the world government. And, you know, of course, I've warned them where a lot of people are scared to death to do it, and the fearful and unbelieving will spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire. And that's why I do it, is to save my skin. I don't want to go to hell and the lake of fire. And what I'm saying is the same things that the Bible says. Okay, those of you that are in the world system, get out of it before it's too late for you. Then what?
Verse 2, and it shall be when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people.
Okay. The priest is the leader. And also in the book of Judges, which I'm in right now, I finished Joshua and I'm in the book of Judges, the judges are the leaders of the people. The priests and the judges, those are the ones that are in charge. Now, everybody in the congregation is not a judge. Only the leaders are the judges. Deborah was the judge, and Samson was the judge. And there were several judges, and I've listed them all in my introduction to the book of Judges. There were some of them that you never really ever hear about. They're called minor judges, but nevertheless, they are judges, they are leaders, and the other people don't have any right. God calls a person to lead, and he doesn't call a whole congregation of leaders. The people of Moses, his congregation, which numbered around, some people believe it was up between 2 and 3 million people, he was the leader, he and Aaron. That was it. None of the rest of them were leaders. So you have to learn to keep your place. Then what else?
Verse 3, "And shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies."
Now this is a priest talking. Now, if everybody thinks you're a priest and high priest, of course the Lord lets us be priests, everyone in the congregation, in so much as that you have the right, as a priest did in the Old Testament, to come up to the throne of God and talk to him. In that sense, you are priests. But other than that, no. You can come boldly before the throne of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
As the high, only the priests were able to do that before. And so you can do that now. So you're a priest in the sense that you can go up to the throne of the Lord and talk to him yourself and pray and bring petitions to him. But as far as leading the whole congregation or being a judge in the congregation, God calls you. That's a special calling, to be the leader. All right? Hopefully that explains it. I'm not saying that you're not priest in the sense of going up to the throne of God, because you surely do have the right to do that. Amen?
Amen.
You are a priest in that sense. Okay, then what?
"Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them."
No, that really makes the Lord angry if you're terrified, because that's the same as him seeing that you don't believe that he's able to deliver you. So don't be afraid, but be very courageous, because and know that if you're keeping all the commandments that the Lord is going to make, he's going to not let the adversary take you. Now Jesus, yeah, he got taken because he was supposed to have been taken, and we're going to get persecuted because the Lord said that if they persecuted him, they're going to persecute us. But God is able to deliver us from all the persecutors and the persecutions. And the Lord said that his people perish for a lack of what? Knowledge. Amen?
Amen.
So knowledge means knowing the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, you're going to perish. That means you're going to hell and you're going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. My people perish for the lack of knowledge, but knowing me. And that's a bad thing, a very horrible and frightening thing, to stand before the Lord on the last day and have him say, "I never knew you, because you never cared to know me. So depart from me, you wicked." And there's a lot of people that are going to go up there with their Bibles and thump and say, "Have we not done great and mighty things in your name?" You have it. You carry a Bible, but you don't know what it says. That makes you a very bad person. You better study the Word to know the Lord so that he will not say that to you on the last day. Then what?
Verse 4, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies."
Right, so if God is with you, then who could be against you? That's why he doesn't want you to be frightened. Amen?
Amen.
Showing fright means that you don't believe that God's with you, or in you, and for you. And there must be some kind of a guilty complex you have if you don't believe that. It must be that you know that you're not keeping God's commandments. And that's why you're frightened. So know the Lord and serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you won't have any fear. Okay? Because God will be with you in battle. That's the truth. It's all throughout the Bible. Okay, then what?
For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you.
You know, the Lord wants to save people that he lives in and works in and through. And he will. I mean, he's not going to forsake you and turn you over to your enemies unless you're not keeping his commandments. And he plainly tells you that he will, if you're not keeping his commandments, he will turn you over to the enemies. So it isn't that he doesn't love you. He just wants to teach you a lesson and chasten you and show you that, you know, you've got to keep my commandments. Now, the book of Judges, that's a very good example of that, because he loved the children of Israel. He chastens and scourges those whom he loves. They would start sinning and forgetting God as though they had arrived. And then he'd start cursing them and send disastrous situations their way. Then they start crying to him. And then when he knew they were sincere, he'd send a deliverer, a judge, a leader, and they would deliver them. And then they'd go along for a while and do everything that was right for a while, and then they'd start doing the same thing again. So God would start sending all kinds of tribulations. Many of them would be killed. And then a deliverer, they'd cry out, they'd repent, and the Lord would go in and send a deliverer to them again, a Deborah or a Samson or one of the other judges. And that just kept going on and on. 6 or 7 times in the book of Judges alone, that shows that God loves you and he'll chasten you if you get out of the way, because he doesn't want you to go to hell. Now that's showing love, amen?
Amen.
He does that as a wake-up call to you. But then if you just get angry at his chastening you, and you don't realize that you must be doing something wrong, and if you don't repent and walk in the Spirit and change your ways, well then he'll just turn you over. Because in the New Testament, we know all the personality of God. We know how he is by the Old Testament, and we know how he is by the New Testament. He hasn't changed at all. As a matter of fact, he's more severe in the New Testament. We have Ananias and Sapphira who lied to the Holy Spirit. They held back. When God says, give me all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and all of your goods, because they were living among the others, and they held back. They thought, well, you know, just in case God isn't what he says he is, we're going to hold some of this money back from the house that we sold. And so therefore they said, yes, we're going to do everything you say, Lord. In that sense, they lied to the Holy Spirit. And so God dropped them dead right there. Immediately, both of them. And then we see that if a person looks at a woman with adultery in his eyes or in his heart, or a woman does the same thing when she's married and goes for some other man, then she's cursed. And in the New Testament, the Bible says if you, after being saved, the Lord tells you to go and sin no more, and then you go and sin some more and start living a life of sin, because of the fact that you've learned the Old and New Testament and you see how God is, and now you see how severe he is. He's full of love, but he's severe, and you do something like that that changes the course of nature, then the Bible says that there's no more forgiveness for you. So you've really got to stay united with the Lord in the Spirit and let the Spirit control you. We need to make ourselves, discipline ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And we have to control ourselves to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 5, and the officer shall speak unto the people, saying, what man is there that hath built a new house, and hath not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. Verse 6, And what man is he that hath planted a vineyard, and hath not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. Verse 7. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife, and hath not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her.
Well, the Lord is saying, okay, all you people have got excuses why you don't want to go to war. That's fine, because I'm going to do the killing of all these people anyway. I'm giving the battle. We don't need every one of you people. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is the one that gives the victory. And in the book of Joshua, it shows that Joshua leads them from one victory to the other. So this is why he's typified as a savior, similar to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, when we do everything he says, then we have nothing but victory after victory, victory after victory. And that's what it was in the book of Joshua. When they were straight with the Lord, every time they were in a battle, they won. They won victory after victory after victory throughout the whole book. The only time that they lost was when, and you see it time after time in the book of Judges, is when they forgot to keep God's commandments. They drifted away from God and thought that they were something special and that God was a respecter of persons and wouldn't let them lose or wouldn't let them be persecuted. Well, we see that even in the New Testament, after Jesus preached the gospel and warned them about all these things, they still wouldn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ. They wouldn't accept God in the flesh. And so, you know, in 70 AD, King Titus came and destroyed Jerusalem and took the Jewish babies. The mothers had babies in their wombs. They'd cut them open and take the babies and smash them against the wall. They literally annihilated thousands and thousands of Jewish people. So, and God allowed the Jews to be destroyed in the concentration camps in World War II. Because he'll raise up an adversary, anything from locusts to hornets to Germans to King Titus, one adversary after another, to chasten the people. And when he sees that they're just mocking him and deny him completely and that they have there's no chance that they're ever going to accept the Lord, then he turns you right over to the devil. And because you love the devil and you are of the devil because you don't believe in God and his son Christ Jesus and salvation and his mercy, so he turns you over to the unmerciful and lets them have their way with you. Okay, then what?
Verse 8, and the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house.
Yeah, we don't need somebody like that. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're going there to win. Amen?
Amen.
It's like a prize fighter. You go, you know, you're full of lethargy. Don't go into the ring if you're full of lethargy or something like that, or full of some kind of sympathy for your opponent. The Lord says, have no mercy on the devil. I mean, but to come and keep praying before the Lord to destroy the devil, the works of Satan, to rebuke Satan. Because if you do, even in a fist fight in a ring, if you have, you're not going in there to win, you're going to get the tar beat out of you. Amen?
Amen.
And after all, I mean, the whole thing of war is, especially in these last days, you'll either fight the fight of faith and fight the way that the Lord tells you to spiritually with his word, or you're going to be killed because he'll turn you over. There's some very wicked people in this world, and he'll turn you over to them. It's a matter of life and death for you to do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Because he promises that he'll turn you over, he'll have you killed if you don't do what he says. So, you know, and you can look with sad eyes or something like that. That doesn't mean anything to the Lord. You're just the devil if you don't believe what he says, okay?
Yes.
And he says, you're killed, turn you over to be killed. And when you're killed, that isn't the end of it. You'll go to hell for disobeying him, for not fighting. He wants people to fight. He doesn't want you to run. The armor of God is for the front of the body, not for the back. There's, you know, you see the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the double-edged sword, girt about with the truth, and to have be shod with the gospel, to have the cloak of zeal. Amen?
Amen.
All these different parts were all just for the front part of your body, but you don't see anything for your back. Amen? Or Amen. Your backside. So if you run away from the enemy, well, then they can shoot you in the back. Amen?
Amen.
So he means that you're to defend the gospel to the death if necessary. All right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And it's a matter of life and death. You'll either do it, and whether you want to be in a war or not, you are in that war. If you're a new Christian, you've got every seducing spirit in the universe coming against you, and you better fight that dude. Amen?
Amen.
You better fight. You better stand up and fight. This isn't a game for the faint-hearted. If you're faint-hearted, go someplace else to your own home, but you're not going to the home of the saints. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it's saying here. Go home, you faint-hearted, you lily-livered, yellow belly. Okay? Because God says, don't fear the devil. I destroyed him. All right? Just face him and come against him with the word of God. Because the word of God is sharp and powerful. It's more powerful than any two-edged sword. Amen?
Amen.
There isn't any weapon that's formed against you that can prosper according to the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
So take courage. Be very courageous. Show God that you believe in him so he doesn't turn you over to the enemy. And if you're frightened and faint-hearted, that's a sure sign to your enemy, to the devil, that you're not a believer. And that makes you more wicked than he is. Even he's just going to swallow you up. And the Lord will be against you on top of you. You got the devil against you, but worse than that, you've got God against you as well. So you better get out and fight. Some big bully when I was a kid, the guy was twice my size. My mother sent me to the store for a loaf of bread and a can of soup or something. And I had some change in my hand, and this bully came and took the bread and the soup and my money and everything. I ran in the house, and he was standing outside. And my mother says, you either go out there and fight him, or else I'm going to beat you up. I was just a little shrimp. And at that time, I was afraid of my mother. So I says, girl, you know, I don't want to. This guy is really big, you know. He's 3 or 4 times bigger than I am. And she says, go out there, I'll beat you up so hard. So, and then take that money away from him. He's a bully. If he wouldn't pick on a little guy like you if he wasn't a bully. Go out there and face him. So I went out there and I beat him up and took the bread and the milk or whatever I had and the money away from him and brought it in the house. She said, see, I told you, you made me angry because you weren't listening to me. Okay? And that's what the Lord is saying. You better get out there or I'll get you. Okay? And that's worse. I'm more afraid of the Lord than I am my mother. Okay? All right, then what?
What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as his heart.
Yeah, nobody wants to be fighting out there with a coward. I mean, you make everybody else scared. You know, oh, my God, oh, and shrivel up like a little, you know, worm. And everybody else is, get rid of this guy because the enemy is seeing this and they're getting more courage by hearing this supposed to be brother of yours squirming and, you know, crying like a baby. Stay home, okay, weasel? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Verse 9, and it shall be, when the officers have made an end of speaking unto the people, that they shall make captains of the armies to lead the people. Verse 10, when thou comest nigh unto a city to fight against it, then proclaim peace unto it. Verse 11, and it shall be, if it make thee answer of peace, and open unto thee, then it shall be that all the people that is found therein shall be tributaries unto thee, and they shall serve thee.
In other words, they're going to chop the wood and carry the water. if they surrender. But if they want to fight you and fight knowing your reputation that I'm with you, that I opened up the Red Sea and the Jordan River and all, and whipped all these kings for you and all these nations, and they still want to fight with you, well, then we're going to kill them, okay? All right, no commentary.
Verse 1 through 11, the regulations regarding war. When you go out to fight your enemies and you face horses and chariots and an army greater than your own, do not be afraid. The Lord your God who brought you safely out of Egypt is with you! Verse 2, before you go into battle, the priest will come forward to speak with the troops. Verse 3, he will say, quote, listen to me, all you men of Israel!
Yeah, look, when we were in the Navy, none of us were so presumptuous that we were going to start teaching people the Blue Jackets Manual and that we were going to be the chief petty officer or our lieutenant or something. We were just seamen recruits. That's lower than they told us than whale dung at the bottom of the ocean. Amen?
Amen.
And so I don't understand how these seamen recruits in the army of the Lord think that they can usurp authority all over the church, and they start giving orders and rebuking people and everything like that, when all you are is lower than whale dung in the Lord's army. Amen?
Amen.
And so you have to earn your stripes. Amen?
Amen.
You don't get to be a captain by pulling yourself upon your own bootstraps, okay? Or just because you are haughty and are puffed up and have a inflated picture of yourself. You have to earn your stripes, okay? We had one little stripe on our shoulder when we were in the Navy. I think we didn't even have one. When we became a seaman, that was just one stripe. Okay? And then you become a third-class petty officer, second-class petty officer, first-class petty officer, and then a chief petty officer. And nobody, I didn't see anybody trying to be a chief. Okay? Okay, then what?
Do not be afraid as you go out to fight today!
This is the chief petty officer talking to him here. Amen?
Amen.
They're not all given this instruction because these guys heard from the Lord. Okay, then what?
Do not lose heart or panic. Verse 4, for the Lord your God is going with you! He will fight for you against your enemies, and he will give you victory!
See, he will do it. He's going to do the fighting. Don't worry about it. Sennacherib's army, was there any one of the Jews that killed those 185,000 men laying dead on the ground? No, when they woke up in the morning, they saw they were all dead corpses. The angel of the Lord went in there, just one angel, and just smote them all, killed them, made them all dead corpses. Okay, and it wasn't Noah that killed all the people in the world during the flood, it was the Lord. Amen. He just drowned them. And in Egypt, it wasn't any of the people of Israel that killed the firstborn of all the people of Egypt and did all those plagues. It was the Lord. And it wasn't any of them or Moses that opened the Red Sea. It was the Lord. All right? And the Lord drowned the whole army. They, I don't think they even spit in there to add to the, and if it wouldn't, it had made any difference anyway. There was enough water in the Red Sea to drown all the Egyptian armies. Okay?
Amen.
So don't be afraid. The Lord is at the wheel. Amen?
Amen.
What's going to happen is going to happen. I mean, if the Lord wants me to die, then I want to die. And if he's, why get worried about it? Everything will be of the Lord, depending on how we are if we walk in the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, we don't have to fear death. And besides, we're never going to die anyway. If our body just dies, just a flick of an eye blink, you're in the kingdom of heaven. You say, how did this happen here? Praise the Lord. And I didn't feel anything. I remember one time Sue and I were holding hands in Las Vegas across the street from the apartment house we were living in, and we were looking up at this beautiful cloud formation. They are clouds in Vegas. They get the
great big cumulus clouds over in one section, and the whole the rest of the sky was all blue. We're holding hands, and all of a sudden, within just a flick of an eyelash, we're standing up above the clouds looking down at them. And it was like the Lord was smiling on us. And Susie holding my hand, I thought, well, I've got bad eyes. Maybe I'm hallucinating or something. She stuck her long fingernails and sharp fingernails into my hand. She says, do you see what I see? And I said, yes. And she says, what? I said, we were looking up at the clouds, and now we're looking down. And she says, that's right, and shoved her fingernails deeper into my flesh. Amen? Well, that's just how fast you get into heaven. We didn't even, you know, it was just like, here you were, and there, and here you are up above. That's how fast it happens. We didn't feel a thing, and I thought, is this heaven? We're up here, and I'm looking all around, scanning up there. I said, this is boring up here because there's no action, you know? I mean, no, it's just up above the clouds, that's all. We weren't way up there in heaven because heaven is a place. It's more real than where we're at right now. This is not real because it's not going to last forever. But that's how fast you'll be taken up. So there's no need to fear if you're saved because I've you know, experienced that. And then I've seen heaven. I saw the Lord, and then I saw Susie and I in the kingdom of heaven, and then I had another vision of it, too. I said, visions is heaven and hell. I know it's there. Okay? And the Lord says, not yet, which indicates to me that it's going to happen, but just not yet. Praise the Lord. Amen? I'm going to be there. Okay? And you can be there, too, if you believe, like I do. Believe on the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Church. Those of us that have the Son in us. Amen?
Amen.
Believe our report. Okay, then what else?
Verse 5. Then the officers of the army will address the troops and say, quote, has anyone just built a new house but not yet dedicated it? If so, go home! Exclamation
mark. Yeah, who needs you? Right? God's going to take care of everything, just like he did in Egypt. In the world, you know, go home and like you're going to conquer the earth for the Lord. All right, just don't be afraid. That's all he asks. Amen.
Amen.
And just do what he says. If he tells you to go home, go home. Okay, then what?
You might be killed in the battle and someone else would dedicate your house! Exclamation mark. Verse 6. Has anyone just planted a vineyard but not yet eaten any of its fruit? If so, go home! Exclamation mark. You might die in battle, and someone else would eat from it! Exclamation mark.
Well, wait a minute, he says we might die in battle. Yeah, you might. You might die at home, too. How about that one? A lot of people die at home, amen?
Amen.
People die in hospitals. You might die in battle, but I'd rather be, if the Lord's telling me to be out there in the battle, I'd rather die there, obeying the Lord, so that when you die, I mean, you don't die. It's just a flicker of an eye blink, and you're there in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
It's better than to be a coward and then, you know, be like the fearful and unbelieving and wind up in the pit of hell and then the lake of fire forever, eternally. And what else?
Verse 7. Has anyone just become engaged? Well, go home and get married! Exclamation mark.
Yeah, who needs you? Right?
Right.
Go home. Playhouse. Okay, what else?
You might die in the battle, and someone else would marry your fiancé.
Yeah, the Lord right there is just facetiously discouraging them. Who, in other words, he's saying, who needs you? Thumbing his nose at them. Because God is the one that wins the battles. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 8. Then the officers will also say, quote, is anyone terrified? If you are, go home before you frighten anyone else.
Yeah, your fright is contagious, you know. You get some of these brave soldiers, and they see this Jim Baker out there shivering and, you know, going into a fetal ball. They might do the same thing. All right, what else?
Verse 9. When the officers have finished saying this to their troops, they will announce the names of the unit commanders. Verse 10. Quote, as you approach a town to attack it, first offer its people terms for peace. Verse 11. If they accept your terms and open the gates to you, then all the people inside will serve you in forced labor. King James Version, verse 12. And if it will make no peace with thee, but will make war against thee, then thou shalt besiege it.
Right, and God will give the victory to him. Then what else?
Verse 13. And when the Lord thy God hath delivered it into thine hands, thou shalt smite every male thereof with the edge of the sword. Verse 14. But the women, and the little ones, and the cattle, and all that is in the city, even all the spoil thereof, shalt thou take unto thyself, and thou shalt eat the spoil of thine enemies, which the Lord thy God hath given thee.
Yeah, the Lord does that because most men hate the idea of their wives being with somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
Or their daughters to be with the enemy. And so the motive there is, hey, make peace. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, that'll happen. Keep your wives and your daughters and your kids. Make peace. And you can, we won't come in and take it over. But if you don't, surely we're going to win because God's with us. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the same thing with the people of the world system. You better do what the Lord says, okay? Or you're not going to like the consequences. Okay, then what else?
Verse 15. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations. Verse 16. But of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance, thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth. Verse 17. But thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely the Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee.
Okay, run those again.
Okay. The Hittites and the Amorites, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites.
Now all these different Canaanite people are symbolic of all the different evil things that are in us. We have to take control, let the Holy Spirit take control of ourselves. We have to, each one of these different Jebusites, the Perizzites, and all of those are like symbolic of the different things that are in us that are of the world. And when we get saved, there's a maturity of faith system that has to go on to where we rid ourselves, our bodies, of all the things that are negative to the Word of God. And we can't get rid of these things unless we learn the God, until we know God of what he goes for and what he doesn't go for. And when you're reading the Word of God, like for instance we see on the news today that there is a man that kidnapped his own daughter. It's a stepdaughter, and he is, they found a letter where he wanted to marry her, and she's about 12 years old. And, of course, this, the Bible tells us, is incest. Even if it's a stepdaughter, it's incest. And it's against the law of God. There's going to be horrible consequences. People will go to hell for such things as that in the lake of fire. And we see that they, also that one of the people was telling me that they took a poll not too long ago, and it was overwhelming in the state of Texas, where there were so many men that were doing that with their daughters. They were having sexual relationships with their own little daughters. And even Cosmopolitan magazine was encouraging that sort of thing. And it's because they don't know the Word of God, and they don't know the things that God will do to them. And that's why it's important for us to preach the Word, and so that people will know that God hates that. He despises it, and he's going to wreck you for doing something like that. And the problem is that most preachers are afraid to preach the truth of the Word of God, and so there's a lawless society today. And God has scared me to the point to where I will definitely preach anything that he tells me to preach, because I fear him billions and trillions of times more than I do the public. The public are just a bunch of lost creatures. I'm not afraid of them. People you can, if you had to run, I mean, if you were going to be a coward, you could run from them. I never have. But with God, you can't run from him. You try to go inside the house and hide under the bed, and he'll be there. He knows right there where you're at. He's there. He just looks under the bed and slides in there with you and says, hi, hi, yai. Amen.
Amen.
He swam down to the bottom of the ocean, and he says, "Hi, I'm right here." You go to the top of Mount Carmel or anywhere in this universe, and he can just say, "Hi." You've seen those cartoons of Deputy Dog that no matter where you go, that's where he's at. The Lord's on you just like white is on snow. He knows even what you're thinking and what the intents of your heart is. Okay, so you dasn't do things. You better learn what he likes and doesn't like right now, because whether you like it or not, whether we like it or not, we're going to stand in front of him. And we better be prepared. And he doesn't buy excuses. He's not like the world system where you can say, "Well, Lord, I was temporarily insane, and I have my attorney here to, you know, explain all that." That doesn't mean nothing to the Lord. He doesn't care how crazy you are, okay? Because when you start, when you see him, and the fear will come into you where all the craziness goes away, okay? That's why I didn't fear God. And then when I met him, he started scaring me, frightening me to no end, and pulling the breath out of my body, and my heart was thumping, and I could hear him, and he shut my ears off and everything. I was totally out of control. There was nothing. I couldn't control myself. And he frightened me to the point to where I am where I am today, 40 years later. Okay? And so, and I always have those things to remind me. And I know a lot of people, a lot of preachers, they've gone to theological seminaries and all that sort of stuff, and they don't know the Lord, okay? I knew him. After he did that to me in that office, I knew him. I knew that he was not a God of just love. He threatened me. He started playing with me like I was a toy. And when you stand in front of him, you're going to know that what I was telling, that I'm telling you the truth. You're going to know then that I've been telling you the truth. And you don't have to believe me. All I'm required to do is tell you what happened to me and what the Bible says. And then I'm off the hook with you. You got a hot, you got I passed the ball to you, and it's in your hands now. Ask what you're going to do. You're going to ask the Lord to come into you, and then you're going to start serving him. And you're going to not sin anymore, or else. Okay, then what else?
Verse 18. That they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods, so should ye sin against the Lord your God.
And if you sin, you know, the soul that sins shall die eternally. Then what else?
Verse 19. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down. For the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Verse 20. Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that maketh war with thee until it be subdued. Translation, verse 12 through 20. But if they refuse to make peace and prepare to fight, you must attack the town. Verse 13. When the Lord your God hands it over to you, kill every man in the town. Verse 14. But you may keep for yourselves all the women, children, livestock, and other plunder. You may enjoy the spoils of your enemies that the Lord your God has given you. Verse 15. But these instructions apply only to distant towns, not to the towns of nations nearby. Verse 16. As for the towns of the nations the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession, destroy every living thing in them. Verse 17. You must completely destroy the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, just as the Lord your God has commanded you. Verse 18. This will keep the people of the land from teaching you their detestable customs in the worship of their gods, which would cause you to sin deeply against the Lord your God. Verse 19. When you are besieging a town and the war drags on, do not destroy the trees. eat the fruit, but do not cut down the trees. They are not enemies that need to be attacked! Exclamation mark. Verse 20, but you may cut down trees that you know are not valuable for food. Use them to make the equipment you need to besiege the town until it falls.
Okay, that was the last verse of chapter 20 of Deuteronomy, and now I have some commentary.
20, verse 1 through 20. This chapter, along with chapter 21, verses 10 through 14, chapter 23, verses 9 through 14, and 25, verses 17 through 19, provides significant instructions about conduct in holy wars. Israel is conquering the Promised Land. The presence of God on her side will give her the assurance of victory that will be maintained only by obedience to the Lord's standards. 20, verse 5 through 9. The subject is laws of exemption from military duty or military service. The word, quote, people, unquote, refers to the army. 20, verse 10 through 18. These verses are God's instructions for dealing with enemy cities. 20, verse 19 through 20. Israel, unlike other armies which wasted lands, was to be discriminating, using good sense and discretion with reference to the land God created and in which he will deal with his people. 20, verse 1. Quote, do not be afraid, unquote. This great and encouraging imperative appears often in the Bible. It has occurred many times in this book without receiving any special notice, but here in the context of enemies, it seems particularly significant. Even as we face impossible odds in becoming mature, going through the fire, becoming gold, we must not fear the enemy. God is able to bring about victory for us against all odds.
Amen. When I was talking to you about my mother, I think she got that kind of fighting spirit because my grandfather was a champion wrestler. And one time somebody stole his mining boots and he picked the guy up and threw him clear across the street and broke both of his legs. So my mother was his favorite child out of 10. And so it must have been because she had that, you know, fighting spirit in her. And she instilled, you know, the fear of her in me so that I went out and took care of that bully. But the Lord, you know, if you don't do what he says, you just can't hide from him. And, you know, so your mother might beat you or somebody like that, but that's no big deal. God can give you cancer, leukemia, heart trouble, million and one things. Have you die in a flood, a hurricane, a tornado, all the many different things that the Lord kills people with and has killed them in the past. We had a man in the church where he said that he's got a call from his mother that his dad just died in Tennessee. He was at a picnic and a bee stung him and he died immediately from the bee sting. There are all kinds of very dangerous serpents, like little copperheads. So we heard of one, the woman got bit by one, the teeth on the little baby copperhead was so fine that they didn't even know they were bit. And they're actually more poisonous than the large ones. And they die. A young boy was out fishing with his dad in a canoe out on Ten Killer Lake here in Arkansas. And the boy wanted to go swimming. He went out there and he says, oh, Dad, you know, I fell into a whole bunch of barbed wire out here. And what it was, he went into a nest of poisonous snakes in the water, and they were just biting him, and he died. And you never know what you're going to die from or how. There's all kinds of, and people walk in the woods, and they don't know it, but there's snakes out there and black widow spiders and all kinds of things that can kill you. There's thousands of people that are killed every year from insects, mosquitoes. So, you know, get right with the Lord and you don't have to worry about those things. Amen?
Amen.
So there's a lot of lessons in chapter 20 here today. Amen?
Amen?
Think about them. Keep concentrating. Meditate on the Lord. In other words, think about him both day and night. And praise the Lord. Amen. And we'll see you in chapter 21, Lord willing. later on tonight. Praise the Lord. Bye.